Good evening, everyone. This is the evening of Thursday, March 28th, 2019, and we are calling to order the board meeting open to the public for First State Montessori Academy. And I do not see that we have any guests, no public comments recorded, so we'll dive right into the agenda. Actually, you know what? Let's take a moment. Before we do that, I want to take a moment. I was going to do this before we go into finance, but I think now is just as good a time as any since we don't have any public comment. So I'll make a public comment, right? I want to take a moment to acknowledge our own from this board here at First State Montessori Academy, the soon-to-be Honorable Janine M. Salamone, and her investiture taking place tomorrow at 3 o'clock over at the Superior Court, State of Delaware. She will be a commissioner in the Superior Court for the State of Delaware. So I wanted to just take a moment. She's obviously been very helpful, influential here on the board over the last several years. Of course, as governance and then working with the governance team to rewrite and revise some of our bylaws and a number of other things. So it's only right that our attorney, one of several on this board, I'm very proud of you, happy for you, right, as well. And so I just wanted to take a moment to congratulate you. And of course, we hope we'll be able to all be there tomorrow, too. I know I will. I've cleared my schedule, so we can just take a moment to honor Janine. Thank you. Anything you wanted to say very quickly, Janine, before we move on?
Just thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm. I hope some of you can make it tomorrow. And doesn't mean I'm not going to still be here serving this community as well.
Excellent. Good to hear. Thank you very much. And I'll be there. And hopefully we can all, some of us at least, can make it as well. And we appreciate the invitation. Thank you. So we'll jump right into the approval of the public board minutes. Excuse me. For our last formal and public board meeting, which was February 28th, 2019. I trust that you've all received the package. Thank you, as always, Megan, for being so diligent and detailed, not only in your minutes, but making sure they get out. We appreciate it. I presume everyone's looked over them, but I will allow for a moment for you all to review, and we can take it from there. And in fact, as you're reviewing them, we should probably start with our roll call as well. So everybody's aware who's in the room. That might help. Let's start with our good fellow board member working so diligently on baskets, et cetera. We'll start with you.
From Santa's Workshop, Angela
Angela. Hey, Angela.
Courtney Fox.
Janine Salomon.
Kiara Panulabek.
Megan Newberry.
And Dwayne Sims.
Jet Donahue.
Natalie Marciani. Aubrey Nance.
Courtney Lockney.
Sarah Staff.
Thank you, everybody, for attending. We did receive a message, several regrets from Zeke Allenson, Sarah Nagel, and Chandra Gilmore. And Michael Riley is coming. He's on his way, running a bit late from Philadelphia. So we do expect to see him shortly. So now, with roll call out of the way, back to our minutes. If we take a look through those, and then as we review them, should you see anything, I'll definitely entertain a motion for approving these minutes to the record.
So moved.
Jed Donahue, do we have a second?
Second.
Janine Salamone, there's a second. Excellent. All in favor, any questions, comments, or concerns to be noted, or additional discussion around those? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Excellent. And so it passes. Thank you very much. I want to take a quick moment. Mike, I just mentioned your name a moment ago. I said you were on the way. So
yes.
Thank you for joining us, and want to acknowledge Michael Riley has joined us as well. All right, so we'll dive right into the next item, which is going to be, of course, you have in front of you your finance package, which was delivered as well. That's going to be for the narrative for February 2019, and the projections were included as well. I think we'll save those, correct me if I'm wrong, Courtney, but those are going to be for the executive session, correct? The five-year projection? As part of any other discussion?
No, they're part of
Okay.
They're part
Excellent. All right, great. If there's any additional, please take a time. Hopefully everyone had a chance to review. If not, though, obviously I'll jump right into the narrative portion, but I wanted to take a moment thereafter to answer any questions you might have as we would do a normal course of business. So the narrative for February 2019, as you see, this is period ending February 28th, 8 months or two-thirds of the way through the fiscal year. Can you believe it? March 31st is on our heels, right? Here we are. Final budget revenues has always been projected just over $8.5 million. Revenues collected to date actually exceeded what we had budgeted. So 105% of that budgeted revenue has come in at $8,586,015. Okay. You see the month of February receipts that have come in. State general fund of $89,020, which is also mentioned at the very bottom in the bullet points there underneath the general. Additional state revenue received due to DOE maximizing the use of our units associated.
Could someone clarify what that means?
Sure, please. I know, Courtney, if you don't mind, because obviously you were there with Karen and Zeke, obviously not being able to attend.
So we're given a certain amount of units by the state based on our student population. And then where you put staff members in for those units, different positions bring you more money, in a sense, right? So if someone has a master's degree over someone who doesn't, you're going to put them in. Let me back up. We have more staff than we do units. So you've got to kind of creatively engineer where people are plugged into which positions to get the most from the state for those positions. So it's really critical that you really, as you can see, we made up $90,000 this year by just ensuring that people are in the right place.
So when you say we have more staff than units, that means we're investing in this in staff beyond what the state would not require, but
So you're given a number of units based on the number of students, right? So and at different grade levels, you get different numbers of staff per units. And if they have, for instance, at fourth grade, special ed students qualify for different money and different, there's some different characteristics, but you end up getting a certain amount of units. And then depending on your unit, you qualify for a certain amount of teachers, but then you know once you hit certain thresholds, you qualify for a principal or you qualify for certain positions on top of that.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other questions around revenues before we go jump into the expenses? Okay. As you see, final budgeted expenses is just over $8.1 million. Expenses to date are at $5,297,121 with zero allocation towards outstanding encumbrances. So we're sitting at just below 66% of the budgeted expenditures based on that final budget as well. I think that's very important as you begin to look through the cash flow report. You always want to take a look at that column around projected revenue and expenses to see where there's opportunities for that 65 to now obviously take up the full budget. So you want to make sure you take note of that and any adjustments and reallocations in the far right column as well. So that's always how I tend to take the first stab at reviewing these, so sharing that information. As we just talked about in the general section, well, before I move on, any questions at all around expenses as noted in the narrative? Okay. We just touched on the first bullet point with respect to general, underneath the general tab. Year-end cash balance, as you see, is projected as $434,435. If no contingency funds are spent, the year cash balance is projected to be $578,699. Okay. Summer pay deferral amount, as mentioned here, is mentioned to be reviewed as well. For later on in this evening session, we have Karen Thorpe will be coming to visit with us as well. Karen, just to refresh everyone's memory, is our consultant around finances and works really closely over the last several years with our finance committee and the school. Around projections, essentially advisory services, right, with respect to the budget. Based on our conversations in previous meetings, I thought it was appropriate that we have her come to not only speak to whatever questions that may be around the five-year, but as well with respect to any other matters that we may be discussing around executive session as well.
And beyond advisory, Karen functions as our business manager in so many aspects of that role.
Thanks. Okay. You see in the final bullet point underneath the reserves, these are pretty standard with every month's reporting. You see there we have our summer pay reserve and our maintenance building reserve. That maintenance building reserve, $25,000 allocation still every year. And just trying to get out in front of stuff, making sure that we have some type of reserve there for deferred maintenance, et cetera. Okay. Of course, I won't go into any particular detail around the 5-year or the cash flow, but if there's something that catches everyone's attention, I think it's up for discussion at this moment now. Any questions, comments, or concerns from the board?
Yeah, and I brought the 5-year bigger just so people could figure that would be helpful. So I just want to pass it. They did the opposite. I think at the last meeting, there were some questions about really looking, being able for everybody to be able to see ahead. We keep this, we always have a 5-year. But there were some requests for more eyes around it with all the conversations that we've been having to just give everybody a sense of where we are and what that looks like. So it has just been recently updated. You'll see the number on column one matches exactly the column on the cash flow report that you just saw. So we updated everything and pushed it out accordingly. But I do think it's worth spending a few minutes to look at and to dig into a little bit to see kind of where we are and what that means.
Thank you, Courtney. So,
what are your assumptions on enrollment in the out years?
Yeah, so we've mapped out our enrollment as part of our charter that we live at a certain number. So this is at full capacity. We can go 5% above that or 5% below that. Outside of that, we would need a modification. We've always been at living at about the 5% above. We've always been able to maximize that, but we estimate it at the full enrollment.
And line 90 is where the enrollment is.
Yep.
Oh, there it is, sorry.
Sorry. So it's based off of all the assumptions that we have currently around what our student body population looks like, around our special ed population, around all those things. It's as if those numbers stay the same, right? So if they change, they would bring in more money to account for more money going out for things like special ed too. So the assumptions are built in relative to what we have right now. And the staffing projection matches the enrollment changes. So that grows with it.
So do we, just so I understand, do we reach the max number of classrooms in 2021 and then enrollment goes up the next year?
Can I just think for a second?
Yeah.
So next year we add another middle school and another 4, 5, 6. The following year we add another middle school, but it's not at full, but we grow into it fully the following year.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I had to think it through for a second.
I just noticed that the classroom teacher's salary stays flat, but enrollment goes up.
Don't you think with the numbers of students growing, we're going to have to increase the special ed and services that we have?
Potentially. But if we have more special ed students, they'll bring in more money, and then we can use that money accordingly.
That goes back, I think there's a good opportunity to connect the dots, right, to around the question Jed had a little earlier around units and how some may bring in more than others as well, just as a tie together.
Yeah, the way that we're modeled as well, most of our classrooms actually have a special ed teacher within them, I think. More than 50%, one of the co-teachers is special ed certified. It might even be higher than that. So a lot of the services can be provided within the classroom because there is a second teacher to do a lot of that too, which is, in a traditional classroom, that's what somebody from the outside pushes in during that person is already there to be able to provide some of the services. So it doesn't necessarily require additional teachers. It just requires us to make sure that we can account for what needs they have.
What's line 28, other employer costs, this 32.46%?
Yeah, OECs are all of your pension, all of your, what goes into OECs? What typically goes into OECs besides pension and benefits? It's not benefits, really. It's,
that liability cost. Let's mark that one as well. For
yeah,
I'm
going to ask
Karen
that question too. It's not something we choose.
No, I figured it was. I figured it was a number that we.
Is that the pay that we keep separate?
No,
no,
no.
So just in case.
No,
no,
that other,
that's
a
salary.
Line.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's why I was asking. I mean, pension I get.
Yeah,
but
I
it seems
hard
to just be pension. It has to be something else
mm-hmm.
too. Is this something that we have to approve as a board, or are we just as
no,
far
just
information?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought with all the conversation we've been having, it's helpful to
oh, no, it's definitely
see
helpful. I just
out.
Didn't know if there was any
nope.
requirement at intervals that we approve a five-year
mm-hmm.
plan for any of our other, you know, state requirements.
Mm-hmm. Courtney, if the class, if we're adding more classes and more students, will the classroom teachers and the assistant teachers be going up also?
They do.
It looks the same, but
we only actually add one more 4, 5, 6 class, and it's mostly growth is at middle school, which isn't two teachers per classroom, and they have larger numbers of kids.
Okay.
It shifts and changes a little bit.
Okay.
Right. So you're hiring like another science teacher or another like it's not just home teachers the way that it's
oh,
structured
so
now.
Oh, so it's not classroom teachers. Is that what you're saying?
It, at that level, it's kind of a combination of, it's not as straightforward.
It's
okay.
A me, social studies and language, but with 33 kids. So it's a one person who does two jobs, you know, two
subject areas.
Two subjects.
I got you.
With
yeah.
a lot, with more kids.
And some of those aren't full units. Like if somebody's a half-time person doing electives or doing math or science, like they, so it's kind of a puzzle. Together. And again, these are kind of our baseline numbers, right? So we see what kids need, we see what schedules require and all of that, and see what needs to happen. But it's a projection that we could live with. One of the other, Natalie, you asked about special ed. There is a change to special ed that doesn't look as obvious here. Our ED right now is counted as a special ed position, and what we're hoping to do is to move that into a more administrative position and have it be more of a director of special ed. So you'll see a third administrator that pops up. It's not necessarily administrator of the school, it's more of an administrator in the area of special ed potentially. So there is an addition, ideally, of one more teacher, but a shift of that role into a more administrative role.
And what line item is that?
So it's special ed teachers. Looks like it stays the same.
Right, 15.
But we actually pull the ED, which is a teacher role right now,
mm-hmm.
out of that and make it a more administrative role.
Okay. 16. Yes.
Is there any talk of other like state mandates or requirements that aren't required today but are being talked about as potentially coming down the pike that we need to factor in or anticipate or?
I mean, the only one that we, the only one right now that is impacting is the parental leave one, and the impact shouldn't be as, it shouldn't be anything crazy. Most of the other ones that are coming up legislatively all have a financial note with them right now. In order to get through, I think they're going to require that financial note. I don't think that they're putting it back on us to fund, to say you have to do this, but you have to fund it. That's not kind of how it's been working down there. Again, shifted any time, but that hasn't
right.
been the.
As of now.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any other questions or comments or concerns? And if none, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the February 2019 reporting package, in particular the narrative for posting to the school website.
Move.
Mr. Riley, I heard first. Move. May I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Janine Salamone, thank you very much. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? Noted. There being none, motion passes. Thank you very much, everyone. Great questions and discussion. And of course, Courtney, thank you very much for supplying the 5-year and for arranging to have Karen come discuss these items with us as well. We appreciate it. Okay. We have the next bullet point on our agenda is going to be from the Development Committee representative and committee chair slash cheerleader and all things FSMA. Big weekend coming up.
Big weekend finally here.
It's here. Yeah.
To date, I think if it's updated, Courtney's been really doing it. $27,000 in sponsorships.
Yeah, I think it's a little of that as of today.
I think it's a little over that. But,
yeah, let's go with more.
Yeah, we're gonna go.
I think we're approaching the $30,000 mark.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there is a sign of genius. Come on out and help. During the day, especially. Also, if you did not buy your tickets, I love you guys, but you can't come for free. Buy your tickets.
I think everybody's got their tickets.
Okay, good. And please plan to come to the VIP reception. That starts at 6:50.
If you do not have a role at the event, please find one.
Can we arrange to recirculate the sign up genius?
I will do that right now.
Awesome. Thank you.
No worries.
I appreciate it.
She's on it.
She's got it on speed on deck, doesn't she? I love it. That's good. Awesome. Thank you very much, Courtney.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That was it? That was all.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Well,
please,
I think it.
I'm just going to respond to Megan's.
Excellent.
Thank you. You're the best.
And the VI, let me ask a question around the VIP event, because I was actually, maybe it's better offline. Well, I just want to make sure some folks reached out to me today.
Okay.
And so.
Great.
So sign up genius. Thank you for recirculating. We have some duties, obviously, to do, so we'll make sure we get on that. And I just want to take a moment on record. I know I was able to attend just a handful of meetings. As a body, I want us to just really take a moment. It's been a lot of hands, as you can see over here.
Between
the baskets and the planning and the emails and a lot of volunteers and sponsors, folks helping us really to bring this together for a 5-year celebration. So it doesn't happen by accident to raise some significant amount of money in sponsorships and then obviously ticket sales. So I'd be remiss if I didn't send a very big thank you as well, Courtney, to you and the full parents, the PTO team, Angela, everyone who's been involved. Courtney, obviously, we really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to Saturday's event as well. So please do use the sign up genius, sign up, let's participate, get involved, please.
Good job.
Right. Lots to celebrate. All right, excellent. We'll jump right into our next agenda item, which have our head of school report, who'll be touching on the 2019-2020 school-wide calendar.
I have copies again too, both of these, so you
and the energy assessment report, which she's gracious enough to print out copies.
Yeah. I want you to have them too.
Awesome.
So the calendar that you're seeing, like we talked about last time, the process involves members of our community, our staff, our parents, looking at the calendar. Last year, just as a reminder, last year when we looked at the calendar, we did a really deep dive into determining some things around like start date and spring break that were some bigger questions that people were having around long-term decisions. So we did a big dive last year into it and really engaged in that. And then this year the feedback was to just go with what we had decided last year and didn't need to kind of reevaluate all of those pieces again. But we did still pull a committee together. The staff still saw it, parents still saw it, to make sure that it was still aligned with what we feel like is best for kids. First and foremost, best for kids, best for families, and best for staff. So we will need to vote on that, and that will be submitted in April to DOE.
So vote is required on the school calendar. Board vote.
Are we talking about
calendar? Yeah.
Sorry.
Is this the first time we voted on?
We've always voted on the calendar.
Calendar? Really?
Yep.
Wow. I don't seem to remember that.
Courtney, I'm just wondering about the two in service. So October has two Fridays off, and then the very first Friday in November.
Yeah. So the two in October are organizations that we're a part of that we don't choose the dates.
So one is
MTAD, which is the Montessori Teachers Association of Delaware. They run a statewide in-service for all of the Montessori teachers to come together in Delaware and plan it. And then the following one is the Delaware Charter Schools Network. They run a statewide professional development. Next year's is all on technology. So they plan something. I think it's really important for our teachers to be in the both of those communities. And to get a chance to talk to other charter school teachers and to talk to other Montessori teachers and build those connections. So while I hate that they fall back to back, they are incredibly important for the staff.
That's what I had a feeling that it was something.
What did you have
like that? Yeah.
If you look at the last page.
That's the key. I remember there was.
I did give information about what each of those days are, so that you would see kind of why they fall where they do.
I saw Teacher Professional Day, but didn't read the whole thing, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing the day after Halloween.
That was awesome.
Neither are the teachers.
We like that.
That's right.
We will always attempt to build conferences around that if it makes sense.
Any other questions around the calendar? If not, we'll take a...
I have one quick question.
Sure.
This is actually something that occasionally parents, when they find out on the board, they ask me about the calendar. I was like, one of the questions I get a lot of...
There's this incredible process that teachers...
But one of the questions I've gotten from different people is, why do we have extra days built around long weekends? Mm-hmm. So if it's President's Day or something, you get the Friday off and the Tuesday off. Yep. What's the rationale?
Yeah, so a lot of them have to do with either conference days or in-service days. What we build for kids is having those kind of breaks are better for them instructionally than having intermittent days throughout. So when we think about instructionally for kids, it's better for us to group them. And families have requested that as well, but like I said, our number one is what makes the most sense for kids. So to be able to group them when we can, does help us to have really solid instruction and not have it broken up here and there across the board.
Versus, having a longer spring or Christmas break or something like that.
Or just having one day here and one day there.
Yeah, there aren't many random days.
No, I think
they all kind of fall towards the weekend at least.
The
only one that I think is an additional, probably that would be a question, would be the President's Day weekend.
Yeah.
The difference is that teachers don't have, they're working those days beforehand, so it gives them long weekend within that. So a lot of times you'll see that it's breaks for kids, but it's not breaks for the staff doesn't have those days off, too.
That's helpful thing, yeah. Just equips me better to respond to those.
Yeah, I think it's the midwinter doldrum. You need a break.
Yeah,
I think.
It's also helpful for some families who have out of town relatives if there's conference days where parents have to be around to send their kids to out of town relatives. I have out of town relatives, for instance, just for several days instead of a one overnight here or there.
Yeah. the feedback has definitely been to group them. I think this year it impacted because we had a lot of snow days, like the week leading up to it, and so people were like, wait, we were just off a couple of days.
Right. Yeah.
When you can't count on those, if you don't have those, it's time for a mini little respite in some ways.
Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But you can't account for snow days, and that's...
Well, that, I guess that's my only question. Snow days are essentially built in here the way I read it.
They are.
Yeah.
It's also different in chartable, but it's not as
that's
clear
cut.
How many total days do they have to be in school?
They don't. They have to be in 1,060 hours. Or what's written into our charter. But our charter does not specify a number of hours or days, so we default to the state minimum, which is 1,060.
Okay. And that's for public schools also the same?
So what's the number if we had like a blizzard and had to be closed for? Is there a number at which we would have to expand the year?
For charter schools, if the language is a little bit
so we would.
If we felt like students needed, if they, I don't have a direct answer for you.
That's fine. I just. I'm often asked that, and my response is it's
we
built
have,
into the schedule.
We have
ample built in the schedule, but I don't know where the threshold is.
I believe we have like 8 or 9 actually built in,
okay.
Based on hours and minutes and things like that, that we would be fine. I think if we got to a point where we were over that, we would be looking at considering it as a board to say, hey, these kids have missed a certain amount of time, whether we're responsible or not. I think we would consider that.
Each of our school days has an extra time built into it if you look at like the length of our school day versus other schools.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Concerns? Comments? Should there be none, we entertain a motion to accept the 2019-2020 school-wide calendar. Anyone?
So moved.
Jed Donahue, so moved. The second?
Second.
Aubrey and Nance, thank you very much.
I'll third it.
And all those in favor, respond with aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? None noted. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Yep. So the next document is the energy report that we just had done. And again, this is us gathering information. The group that did this, Practical Energy Solutions, did this, like I said before, with a group of our staff and a group of our students. They went through the building and did a full analysis. They are coming on Wednesday to do their full recommendations. I'm just going to look at the time. I would love for there to be any board members who are interested to come, because I think it's something that we'll be talking about and considering as we move forward, what should these to think about implementing and using. So let me just make sure I'm telling you that. So Wednesday, April 3rd at 1 o'clock is our debrief meeting, and I would love for any interested board members to be a part of that, because I think it's going to be a part of our decision-making as we move forward. Just let me know. But again, this is just more informative, but I wanted to give everybody a hard copy around it. A couple other kind of school-wide things to note, just to give a little bit of kind of operational details or information around what's going on right now. Last week, teachers attended the American Montessori Conference. I will let Sarah and Natalie jump in here if either of you want to speak to the impact or anything that you received out of it. I think if you are curious to find out what teachers get out of it, one of my favorite things this year is that we put on Facebook, like, share your favorite moment. And teachers went through and listed like just a quote that they heard that day or something that spoke to them, and actually gave a really good context, I think, for the depth of like mind challenging that day is all about. Liz and I keep sitting in meetings and we're like, oh, remember they said this? Like, this totally applies here. Natalie, I'll tell you, yesterday in a meeting we kept referring to things that we learned in this conference. So there are takeaways at every level for everybody. And this year we had over 40 staff attend. It was an incredible day in D.C. For our teams, and there's been such a great buzz around it. But I'm going to let either of you share any reflections from it that would be relevant.
Yeah, we had the opportunity. We actually got there a little late because parking was tricky. But we
went to the vendors, and it's always so inspiring. I mean, first, the first thing we did was go to the vendors, and it's awesome to see all of the ideas that we can either pine over and hope that we could have or try to recreate in our classrooms, or just like be reminded that, oh, I've got that in my closet. That's, I think I need to bring that out for something new to put on my shelves. And even just connecting, I mean, in my car, I had 4, 5, 6 teachers and me. That was it. And it was, they were teachers that I didn't normally get to connect with. And we got to know each other in the car for 4 hours, which was inspiring. And we got to talk about what we do in our classrooms and how things are the same and how things are different. And the keynote speaker was really validating. I mean, he was talking about emotional intelligence, and it was like, we're already doing that. This is what we do. This is why we do it, which was really, like I said, just validating. I attended a workshop about something that the speaker called Building the Montessori Nest, and the acronym NEST was about nooks and spirit and sort of the intangible things that, that you put in your classroom to make it feel like a Montessori classroom. I forget what the other two, equipment, nooks, equipment, spirit, and trimmings, which are just all the other little things. And awesome. There were ideas that I could bring back and put in my classroom right away. There was one little nook that she had that had a curtain and just a piece of art and a stool. And your whole job is just to sit there and look at art. And then she rotated her art. I think she was actually an artist herself, and so art was really important in her classroom. And one of the things that I took away was, if the art stays the same forever, you don't notice it anymore. So change it up and make it new and fresh. Yeah, it's always just inspiring. It just, it brings us back home to where we started at Montessori, and that's what we should always be doing every minute. And reminds us what we're, where we came from.
I enjoyed it. I had no trouble parking. I sweet-talked the doorman, and he let me park right up front, and I paid him cash on the way out. But, so parking was not a problem for me.
I'm going to ride with you next year.
And I've been going to these conferences for over 20 years, and I just, it's just a reminder, and it's always inspiring. You feel like you're with your people when you go there. So I think the keynote was great. It was a lot about brain research, very validating. It was wonderful. Saw a lot of people in the community, which is nice, the other Montessori schools, to reconnect. So it was great. Thank you. I would like to go 4 more days if possible. That's my only request. Or, yeah.
And one of the things the keynote said is he was talking a lot about emotional intelligence and around what gets you ahead in school doesn't necessarily get you ahead in life. And he kept kind of giving this idea of like really creating people that the people that, that are not, if you think back to people that you knew that were probably really good at the school thing, they're not always necessarily the people that are successful in life. You know, you think about the people that are out there. And I think that stuck with a lot of us, so thinking through like really making sure that we're focused on children as people. And leaving people better than you found them. Kids, grown-ups, each other. That's kind of been our challenge as we've been coming back, is to leave each other better than we find them, which is just, I think, an incredible mantra to live by. One of the other sessions that Liz and I went to, we did stay for the whole weekend, sorry.
Well, I love that you did, because you actually, in the meeting the other day, you said that you got to meet the woman who invented the middle school and trained, I was trained under, and you were like, I see what you're trying to do, and to me that was like, oh, I feel like
that's all it takes. I could just say that once in a while.
Well, because I'm not, it's not my program, it's this incredible woman's program, and she's amazing, so I'm glad you got to see her.
So we did, we attended some middle school sessions, really making sure that what we're doing is effective and efficient and all the things that it's supposed to do. We also, Liz and I also attended one on creating a gender-neutral classroom and thinking about gender in schools and making sure that we are caretakers of everybody, which was a really insightful piece. One of the things that I am bringing back to put in place immediately and contacted the architects is that we need gender-neutral bathrooms on every floor. It is an absolute that has to happen over time. And we're going to start it with the middle school with this second floor renovation. There's a closet on the outside that connects to one of the bathrooms that we can literally just frame it in and bring a door to the outside and do it pretty minimally. But it's something that has to happen for our students and for our kids. So it was interesting to hear kind of all the background. It was interesting to hear school sports philosophies and policies and what people are doing and what barriers schools are facing and what barriers kids are facing and people are facing, and then be able to come back and go, I know that there is a change that we have to make in what we're doing. So like I said, the range of workshops is just incredible. So we were really excited to be there. So that was last week. This week has been FSMA's first week of inclusion, which was a student spearheaded week where each day we have done some type of inclusive activity. I shared this story the other day. My son woke up yesterday and was like, what day is it? What am I supposed to wear? And who are we celebrating? And I was like, oh my God. Like, my third grade boy just jumped out of bed and was like, what am I going to wear? Number one, like, who are we celebrating? I was like, this is awesome. And kids across the board are coming in every day asking me what group of people we're making sure we're respecting and thinking about and celebrating. And it's just been really cool to see. So Monday they did Crazy Hair Day. And again, this is all student design. So Monday was Crazy Hair Day, and it was designed to celebrate each person's unique style. Tuesday was Rock Your Socks Day, in honor of Down syndrome and really honoring kind of the differences in each of us. Wednesday was we all signed the pledge out front to show respect to everybody. Today was Inside Out Day, because it's what's on the inside that matters. And tomorrow is our Be the Change Day, where they have shirts that they were able to order, or we're giving them big stickers to wear. It has really led to some great conversations for our kids, which has been really fun. So that was this week. And then one of the other exciting things for tomorrow is we have one of our students, which is why I will not be at your event, participating in the state geography bee. So one of our students qualifies for that piece as well. So the top 100 kids in the state, they qualify from their school, then they qualify versus on a test, and then they go to Sussex tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they'll be at Sussex in the afternoon qualifying for that. So some fun stuff happening. I think it's fun because it's like this balance of teacher learning and whole child growth and even academics when you throw on like a geography bee, right? So it's kind of lots of cool stuff happening.
Excellent.
Yep. So that's where we are. That's all good stuff to share.
Courtney, thank you very much, as usual. Plenty of great and positive things, right, to discuss about happening at the school. So no surprises there. Right, thank you very much for sharing, not only what I know, I've heard personally from my daughter about the Rock Your Socks, and she was so disappointed. She had a hole in her sock.
Oh.
And she's like, Courtney hooked me up and got me some.
I got another pair
of socks, and it was really a big to-do. She was very excited about that. So I know the children go home with these stories, not just my child, but parents. All of our parents, I'm sure, hear something. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
So, right?
That's it.
Thanks for posting the information. I mean, the pictures and stuff. I think that helps too.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent. It's good to hear. It's great feedback. Thank you. Yeah, wonderful. Okay. That is our head of school report as well. We've touched on all of our committee reports, minutes, and I think at this moment we have, obviously, as you see noted on our agenda, a move to executive session. So I think we'll, at this particular time, entertain a motion for that so we can go into executive. A couple of matters there to discuss, and then we'll move forward from there. Another motion? Janine Salomon, and second?
Second.
Angela Angini. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Abstentions? So moved. And we'll go into executive session at 6:57 p.m. Thank you. 8:19 p.m. Returning from executive session on Thursday, March 28th. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Moved.
Aubrey and Nance, second?
Second.
Thank you very much, Angela Angini. This meeting is adjourned. 8:20.